Chava Kudrara Kudra Giri Govdar Ki Dao Dao Ki Vatra Dao Ki Vahura Vittao Ki Amabai Ki Namabai Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Tosi Maharari Ki Gaura Prima All Glory Sri Sabanabhavi All Glory Sri Guru Sri Guru
Sakichari
Kadapatya
Sakichari
Kadapatya
Once upon a time, Putana Rakshasi, who could move according to her desire and was wandering in outer space, converted herself by mystic power into a very beautiful woman, and thus entered Gokula, the abode of Nanda Maharaj. Purport. Rakshasis learned mystic powers by which they can travel in outer space without machines. In some parts of India, there are still such mystical witches who can sit on a stick and use it to fly from one place to another in a very short time. This art was known to Putana. Assuming the feature of a very beautiful woman, she entered Nanda Maharaj's abode, Gokula. Text 5 and 6. Her hips were full, her breasts were large and firm, seeming to overburden her slim waist, and she was dressed very nicely. Her hair, adorned with a garland of mallika flowers, was scattered about her beautiful face. Her earrings were brilliant, and as she smiled very attractively, glancing upon everyone, her beauty drew the attention of all the inhabitants of Raja, especially the men. When the gopis saw her, they thought that the beautiful goddess of fortune, holding a lotus flower in her hand, had come to see her husband, Krishna. Text 7. While searching for small children, Putana, whose business was to kill them, entered the house of Nanda Maharaj, unobstructed, having been sent by the superior potency of the Lord. Without taking anyone's permission, she entered Nanda Maharaj's room, where she saw the child sleeping in bed, his unlimited power covered like a powerful fire covered by ashes. She could understand that this child was not ordinary, but was meant to kill all demons. Purport. Demons are always busy creating disturbances and killing. But the child lay on the bed in the house of Nanda Maharaj was meant to kill many demons. Remember, this is Numero Uno, demon. This is the first one that Krishna's gonna kill. And I think we're supposed to read text 8 also. Our Lord Sri Krishna, the all-pervading super soul, lying on the bed, understood that Putana, a witch who was expert at killing small children, had come to kill him. Therefore, as if afraid of her, Krishna closed his eyes. Thus Putana took upon her lap him who was to be her own annihilation. Just as an unintelligent person places a sleeping snake on his lap, thinking the snake to be a rope. Purport. In this verse there are two perplexities. When Krishna saw that Putana had come to kill him, he thought that since this woman was present, with bubbly affection, although artificial, he had to offer her a benediction. Therefore he looked at her with a little perplexity and then closed his eyes again. Putana Rakshasi also was perplexed. She was not intelligent enough to understand that she was taking a sleeping snake on her lap. She thought the snake to be an ordinary rope. The two words, Antikam and Anantam, are contradictory. Because of not being intelligent, Putana thought that she could kill her Antikam, the source of her annihilation. But because he is Ananta, unlimited, no one can kill him. Om Amgyan, Tugrandasan, Nandanam, Swakaya, Chakshuru, Vajvela, Tazvaya, Sri, Varvena, Vaha. So this is going to be another reason that's given in some of the commentaries that Krishna closed his eyes. One reason is that she was a female, so it's not very auspicious to kill a female. This is not done in the Vedic culture. She was just a demon. Another reason, when she was looking, when he was looking at her, she was being bewildered by Yoga Maya, but she got this realization: this child is powerful enough to destroy the whole universe in a moment. So she knew she was in big trouble. But Krishna closed his eyes also to make her relax a little bit. See that the child was, you know. So this is the material world, actually. This is unthinkable for devotees to kill a child or to kill a little animal or something like that. It's absolutely unthinkable because we become devotees. But if we look in the world around us, people are doing this all the time. This is common practice. They've just developed more modern ways of doing it so that people can think nicely about it. Like they don't all have to have their own little slaughterhouse. They just buy the meat from a store and it's all packaged nicely. And they don't have to kill the babies. They can get some doctor to come and do that. Some abortionist will kill the children before they even get out. But they don't understand. They think the child is innocent, that he can't do anything. But this is a misunderstanding. He can't do anything now, but in the future, just like when that hunter was killing the animals, Narada showed him this vision, and all the animals were in the sky, just waiting to get him. And in future time, they will get him. It's just a separation of time. So, they think they can pull the child out of the womb, and it's no problem. But really, it's just a separation of time before the child in the womb pulls them in and cuts them up like that. It's a little gross for the kiddies, but you know, it's not all teddy bears and lollipops. This is the material world we're in. So the karma will always be there. Anyway, this Rakshashi met up with the, if there's any abortionists out in our listening audience, you can take up some other term of existence. You can be a podiatrist or a proctologist or something. And you can pray to Krishna because you can be forgiven, just like the hunter became a great devotee. He was chanting the same amount of rounds as Thakur Haridas after he got the mercy of Thakur Haridas. Narada Muni. Also, the child is so innocent. It's just like we have little Gaurasundar. You see little Gaurasundar sometimes. Her mother, because Pila told her that he has to bring him so we can have his darshan every day. So sometimes she brings the child to breakfast. And just by looking at him, you're so happy. You see him or you see a little calf. It's just happiness for the living entity, for the other people to see that. So this is the happy part of life. And somehow or other, the modern world has become so degraded that even little animals and children aren't protected. If I grabbed some guy's little dog and started eating it, I'm sure they would be very upset, but they could eat the meat. There's no, somehow or other, the whole Kali Yuga is so degraded that there's all religious principles are forgotten. Even the most obvious things, somehow or other, oh, I don't know. Oh, I didn't know there's anything wrong with killing. Oh, there's nothing wrong. Half the people think there's nothing wrong with it. It's just amazing. So this is Bandha Subhanga Matayo Bandha Mangya. The lazy, unlucky, misguided, and above all, always disturbed. Now, we were mentioning to someone that there's devotees and demons, but they said, no, no, they're not demons. And actually, according to Bhagavad Gita, they make a point there. because there's a, it's described, Vabhav Duskriti the Buddha Padyate Dharadava Maya Pahriti Vyara Asura Bhava Ashvata. So actually, it's just a handful of really heavy demons. Most are Buddha, foolish, foolish like the ass, Buddha. And then there's a bunch that are Dharadava. Prabhupada says 99.9% of the people are Dharadava, that means lowest of mankind. So in Kali Yuga, no one's even following. If you call them a karmi, you're complimenting them. They're not anywhere near a karmi. A karmi follows the main principle. So they're all vikarmis, Prabhupada explains. Better than a vikarmi is a karmi, because they're following the Vedic rules and regulations, and they'll eventually rise up by this practice of applying the Vedic rules and regulations to their life. So most of them are in that category. Then you have a handful of Maya Parikinyanas. They're very intelligent people, but their knowledge has been stolen away by illusion. Prabhupada sometimes would say, overly intelligent. But that kind of meant foolish too. It was just a polite way of saying you're foolish. He was saying, some of my disciples are overly intelligent. But he was actually meaning they were foolish. And then there's only a handful of big asuras, asura bhava asita. Mostly, so in one sense, they're not all demons, not in that strict sense of the term, powerful people that can manipulate other people's lives. Most people are just passing their days innocent. Innocent also means ignorant. Like most of the devotees, we become devotees, we were innocent, you could say, but we also have to admit that we were ignorant. We didn't know what to be done, what not to be done. So this is like small, tiny demon. So Rakshasi Putana, she obviously, she had come up to a high level. She was a big time demon, and Krishna here is going to kill her. So this is very fortunate for her, because Krishna was going to give her a benediction also. She's going to become just like a nurse, just like Krishna's mother Yashoda, so she's going to become a nurse. There's seven mothers. One of them is the original mother, one of them is a nurse, one of them is mother cow, one of them is mother Vedas, one of them is mother Lakshmimoni. That's the joke that you guys tell. Our comedian, our ISKCON comedian, he told that joke, but the girl was trying to remember the seven mothers, and she only had six. I said, oh, Mother Lakshmimoni. Lakshmimoni was there, too, at the time. Maybe she's listening. Is she here? No. So there's a so Krishna, and this is later on, what's his name? Radharani's father, what's his name in Chaitanya Leela? Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So he heard that verse, talking about how merciful Krishna is, and he even elevated the Putana witch to the spiritual world, and Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He was looking like a sense gratifier, sitting there, and very opulent thing, but as soon as he heard that verse sung by one of the devotees, he immediately went into ecstasy, and he was just kicked aside all his opulent paraphernalia and just rolling on the ground. So this is a great pastime coming up here, where Krishna is going to give so much mercy to the Putana witch. So what else was the Putana witch doing? She knew how to fly in the sky, out of space. And Prabhupada said, here it mentions that, but in the Krishna book, Prabhupada says, in remote parts of northwestern India, that's where these they get a branch and they can fly around on the branch. We always heard that even in Western culture, We heard that as a child, that there was witches and they would fly around on broomsticks. So there's that information, even, you know, some or other Vedic information filters around the whole. Well, ultimately, everyone's spirit soul part of Krishna, including Bhutna Rakshashi. So everyone has a good chance to, by the mercy of Krishna, we're all meant for going back home, back to Godhead. We're not meant to stay in the material world forever, getting one body after the next. So we have a great opportunity, most fortunate, that we can gradually go back home, back to Godhead. Jiva. Jiva is meant for that. Jiva isn't meant for... Jiva, spirit soul, not meant for being in this world, this temporary world, where you have to always be in anxiety about dying. Even Putna, which was so much powerful, but when she saw Krishna, she was completely in anxiety. As a little child, she's completely in anxiety. She knew that Krishna was her death. So this feature of Krishna, like we were talking about before, that everyone gets their karma, this time, feature of time. It's just a matter of time before everything is discovered. Everything is already known. You can't hide anything in the material world. But people think they can hide stuff for a while. But after a certain amount of time, everything is revealed. You cannot... You cannot cheat. Because Krishna is the greatest at that. So you can't, you'll never be able to cheat. If Krishna wants to cheat you, he can do it in a second, but you can never cheat Krishna. Just like Krishna, when he was in the form of Vamanadeva, he came there and just asked for 3 paces of land. A little Brahmin boy, dwarf Brahmin boy. He's asking for 3 paces of land. So Bali Maharaj, he decided to give it to him, even though his spiritual master said, don't do it. He'll take away everything. But still, he was so attracted by this young boy. Plus, Bali was in the line of Prahlad Maharaj, so he was also a great soul. He conquered all the demigods, and he was in charge of the whole 3 worlds. So Krishna came to cheat him. So, Krishna took one step, covered half the universe, the other step, the rest. So then he was saying he had no place to put the 3rd step. So he said, okay, you can put it on my head. But then his wife chastised him. Because his wife said, even though he's captured, he's completely captured, and he's tied up. But his wife started chastising him. Even that head doesn't belong to you. You think that head belongs to you. It doesn't belong to you. Everything belongs to Krishna. That head doesn't belong to you. So he didn't even have, he really didn't have a head to take the 3rd step. He was just an illusion on that even. So really, nothing belongs to us. So everything belongs to Krishna. So we were talking about Yukta Varagya the other day. So this Yukta Varagya, somehow or other, we have to think with all our power. How do you use everything in Krishna's service? Thank you very much for coming. Hare Krishna. Okay, now we can start saying the heavy stuff. No. What was I just saying? What's that? Oh, yeah, yeah. This Yukta Varagya, it's not so easy. If you have a lot of opulence and you're a devotee, you have to use, or say you get a big inheritance or something. You got to figure out, how can I use this all for Krishna? Otherwise, this will kill you. So, we have to figure out, how can I use everything I have, because it's not mine, it's Krishna's. So we have to figure out how we can use everything. So it may be hard, but we should try a little more. We want to use everything for Krishna. And then, at the time of death, we will go back to Krishna. everything's taken away at the time of death. Anyway, it's just a separation of time. Before everyone gets their karma, before everyone loses everything, even family members, what can you do? This is life in the material world. You have to be separated from all of them. They can't protect you, you can't fully protect them. Prabhupada was saying, I was just reading, if the child, the parents try to protect it. Everyone tries to protect their child, but if it's not ordained, the child may die. Even if you get the best medical, a doctor, no doctor will say that he can automatically cure someone. He'll say, God willing. So everything's like that. It's up to Krishna. And that love and affection, that's existing eternally in the spiritual world, and surely have a remnant of it here, especially devotees, because they're kind-hearted. But, we have to understand our limitations. We have to understand our limitations, that we're not Krishna. Bhoktaram jamakamasam, sadhavakamaheshram, suridamasam. Krishna's the best friend. We can try to be friends, but don't ever think you're the best friend of another living entity. That's an illusion. Krishna's the best friend. Krishna's suridam. We can do what we can do, but and even that's only because we become devotees. It's only by Prabhupada's grace that we can even, give up a lot of this cheating mentality. Material world is people are trying to exploit one another. In the first Bhagavad Gita, there was this Prabhupada mentioned, they changed it, but Prabhupada mentioned that not only are you looking for sense gratification, but you have to find a victim. He says that it's in the nature of your consciousness. You have to find a victim for your sense gratification. Now, it might be a willing victim. They're both, because you're thinking they're the victim, and they're thinking you're the victim. So it might be a willing victim, but still, victim nonetheless. Consenting victims.
And victimizer.
What is that?
And victimizer.
Victimizer. But ultimately, Buddha. Ultimately, Buddha and Narada. Anyway, I don't know. These devotees that can use all their opulence in Christian service. That's pretty good. Prabhupada was completely expert. He was getting so much opulence, all going for books, for the holy dharma, temples, devotees. Facilities for devotees. Prabhupada was very expert. He had that whole Los Angeles community there, just facilities. He said, I have made arrangements so that my boys and girls can practice Krishna consciousness without anxiety. So we need to do that too. That's another thing that a lot of the systems that might appear a little bit difficult in the West, like leaving home at 50 or something, or leaving the family, or taking vanapras, taking sannyas. But one reason is because we don't have the vanashram system functioning. Like now, what you see, I have noticed that there's some families now, they become real extended families. They have 20 or 30 members, quite a few. And you can see that, if someone had to take vanapras and sannyas, they'd be well protected. This is the Vedic culture. It wasn't anxiety that I wouldn't be protected. The son was protecting and the rest of the family members. So you can see they had these big extended families, 30, 40, 50 people, right? Extended family, you have?
Not that many.
But quite a few, right? They married other families, there's like some connection.
Close.
So there's not that much anxiety. You're not like you're completely alone. And if my husband leaves, I'll be stuck here in some room on the Bowery, and who'll protect me? That's a sannyasi, powerful. Prabhupada was on the Bowery all by himself, preaching. And he was successful. He was all alone on the Bowery. Some crazy guy, taking LSD, screaming, yelling. And this was, Prabhupada had to move out like right away. I couldn't have helped him. Move to another place. Some of our other Prabhupada was successful. So that's our business too. Now you may say it's impossible. How can we be successful? But it's possible. It requires, you know, a lot of determination. Just like people, they win the gold medal. You ask a lot of kids that are practicing sports, they'll say, most of them will say, no, there's no way I can win the gold medal. These guys are so much better. But then there's one guy who says, I will practice harder and harder. Because someone has to win. So in the Krishna Olympics, Krishna gives a lot of mercy. So I imagine lots of people can go back to home, back to Godhead. It's not just one gold medal. There'd be so many people by Krishna's mercy can go back to home, back to Godhead. But it requires, look how much effort they're taking to win a gold medal in the material world to get a little name and fame. So much effort. So how much more should we be willing, or how much more should we do to get the ultimate prize, become nice Krishna conscious devotees? That is the greatest fame. Ramananda Roy was asked by Lord Chaitanya, who is the most famous? And he said, someone who is known as a devotee of Krishna. That's the most famous person in the universe. Are there any comments or questions? Yes, what? Any other comments or questions? Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
It's like one of those things they get for like.
I want it. I need it.
I think they sell them like at Kmart or something like where the people go to football games.
Yes, yeah, yeah, but I couldn't find it. Anyway. Yeah. I need it. My pocket.
I know. This is the same line. And it has like a support there.
Sit in it. Everybody, my neighbor, what is his name? I don't remember, but he has one.
Wow. Isn't that amazing? I can sit here and chant, and I'm not just thinking on my back, because
yeah.
I can't hold my
yeah,
my hips stick really. So.
My, wow. And this is cushion.
Yes.
I got a lot of
I run away with yourself.
What is that?
Thank you so much.
Did you take a glass?